Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wamit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, the show that is once again, you know, trying to veer the show into a Friday Saturday show slowly.
Yeah, very slowly we're doing it. Totally not very again. Suddenly switching.
It's not that I had multiple days going on.
No, it's not that there was a lot that was happening and things just, you know, scheduling issues continued to happen day after day. No, it didn't happen. Hour after hour, even. No, not at all. We're just trying to get slowly down to Friday.
We're slowly trip Friday, Saturday, you know, and then eventually do Saturday live shows every week, right?
That's the long con we're hiding from the viewers and listeners.
I feel very nostalgic in how, sorry, I don't know if nostalgic is the right word, but like it's because of the fact we just, you know, passed episode 200. Mm-hmm. I feel very in the feels about very reminiscing. Okay, but as the song that I listened to today, the best is yet to come. There you go, Bryan Adams. Yeah, is that right?
I have no clue.
No, that was terrible. That was not only was that terrible, that was off pitch. In my brain, it was a very different melody is happening. I'm not singing today. That's okay.
Too late. You already have.
Well, that was not singing. I don't know what it was, but here we are. I hope all of you are doing well. Currently, I was hoping to actually, as we go through this show, as I was telling Wabs, that we'll actually be playing Rocket League as we're going through the show, and there's certain instances that like pop up, because I think one of the things about our show, okay, is I like to be inventive, aka I like to find ways to play the every time I record a show, I just want to play Rocket League. I want you to know, like, that's how this show works, okay? Like, I end the show and I'm like dead tired, but I'm also now pumped and want to play Rocket League, so I'm trying to incorporate that into the show. But I also think with all the shows that we've done, and we've always like talked about like ways to get better and stuff, I think a lot of the stuff that you think about as a player, you might lose. Okay,
what Wabs, do you mean?
Do you enjoy how I'm very much manipulating my way into explaining why we're gonna play Rocket League on the show in a very
I love way? This, but I want to know what you mean by the ways in which you might things that might be lost.
Because I think when we're playing, right, when we're playing, or maybe when you watch replays sometimes, you have things that you observe and then you might talk about, right? Or you have noticeable mistakes that you'll think about. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that's less noticeable, but if we're talking about it as we're playing, we might be able to mention it, right? That's the type of stuff we might be able to catch if we do this, you know, but if we play the game while we're recording a show.
Okay, I like this. And I think my favorite part about all of this is that this is a podcast.
Yeah. And well, we're going to keep talking about Rocket League as we do the podcast. Uh-huh. Well, in some ways, we've been doing this for 200 episodes, okay? We need to go experimental at some point, okay?
It's true. We have to try new things sometimes. It's the 200th and first, and it's time to try new things. We'll go back next week, probably.
Okay. Let's talk about this right off the bat. All right. Actually, before I get into the topic that I'm about to talk about, let's talk about our patrons and thank them for providing us for this beautiful, beautiful show, right? Because without content. Them, mm-hmm. content. By the way, what was the most recent? Did we do Rob and Kyle recently? I don't know if it was a Rob and Kyle or like a pre-show recently, but we got some reactions. Let me put it that way. Let's go to the secret Patreon chat.
Yeah. In the Patreon chat that you could access if you subscribe to our Patreon.
Okay, listen, it's mostly just snow, okay? There's pictures of snow in Canada, all right?
We haven't had pictures of snow in like 2 years. I think we should have more of those, I'll say it, but...
Pokemon. It was stuff about Pokemon. Okay, there you go. That's what I was thinking of.
Was it not the JRE one that we ended up mentioning at some point?
What even is that, Wabs?
That was I don't know. That was the last. No, it wasn't. Wait. It was about the last RNK, but it was actually the secret K and T, the Kim and or Tim and Kyle show that happened very
prior
secretly.
To the Rob and Kyle show. Yeah, we are definitely what's the word? We are definitely going full meta here.
Yeah, it's in it. There were a couple people that were there. It was mostly for LaZero, and then a couple people hopped in. And that
okay, so I mean, can we go over this? Like, and this show's derailed. I mean, this show's mostly derailed because the fact that I'm at patching 3.18 gigs out of 3.18 gigs and not able to play the game to start the thing that we intended to do in this show.
So also, this is effective delaying to the thing that was originally planned. I like this.
Yeah, we have a lot of effective delaying. That's if there's all right, let me write that down. That's the name of this episode. Jeez, okay. All right, effective. I don't usually write them down, but sometimes it's a good one. Effective delay.
You have pen and paper, so it's.
I actually do. Yes,
I know. Yep.
If you were listening to the pre-show, you'd know. Uh-huh. I would say
again, accessible to the patrons. Are you going to go?
Yeah, yeah. Which are Zodiac 22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Flux, Awesomeness, Caleb, Raz, Digital Toast, Paint, Rook, your boy Hunty, and Young Slug. There you go.
Heck yeah.
I don't know if like 2 weeks in a row. Oh, thank you, all patrons, by the way. I don't know if 2 weeks in a row I can just put topics absolute nonsense, because that's what I did last week. I wonder what point they're like, okay, they're just getting wins, you know? But my point was I want to mention there's like 50 things I wanted to mention. Oh, wait, specifically,
is it about the secret show?
The secret show that happened
and wasn't recorded. Yeah,
you know what, I realize what, like, you know, actual content creators, like, I'm an aspiring content creator or whatever that thing is in the Rocket League tag. I just have that on because that's just officially, you know, like, that is just the identity I've taken on now. You know what I mean? No matter,
it doesn't matter how much we make it. Yeah,
yeah. No matter if our Patreon is successful, or no matter how many downloads we have or don't have, that is just what I am now. Okay, yeah. I'm not only an aspiring content creator, I'm an aspiring content creator that's been around for 200 episodes. Okay.
Yes.
So I think what that means, all right, is now I get to be more and more smug. Yeah, if anyone hasn't realized that this is going to essentially be a Rob and Kyle show, but it's going to be Rocket League themed.
Yeah.
Then here you are. Okay. Welcome to the Patreon, even though this isn't the Patreon. What I was gonna say is, as you were having that discussion, I just like had that like brief realization. You know, like as people were coming in, right? Whether it was people from the community or like patrons and stuff.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, so this is why content creators don't say anything. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I personally, right? If it was just me and Tim, right?
Yep.
I have no problem like getting into other topics, right? Or difficult topics or what have you.
Yeah.
But then there's like, no, now there's like three or four people, which it's like, I mean, there's two things to this. One, you know, as people know, like people who have listened to our show, that like Wabs and I, okay, we're not like on board on everything and the same thoughts. And I'm sure some of the stuff I say or some of the stuff that Wab said, for certain types of people, they might like, that might be it, right? They might hear something we say and be like, that's it. We're never listening to your show again. Okay. That's my feeling. Like, depending on whatever, you know, life philosophy someone currently has, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever they deeply hold in their heart. Right. And so like, while you and Tim were like, you know, ranting, essentially, I guess is the word to use, I'm like, 100% someone can go into this and one, also not realize what kind of conversation this is, because like Tim and Wabs will just do this for hours upon end and not care. But two, be like, oh this, I hate this guy. because it's so, what's the word, if in a context where it's just you and someone else, you guys can get heated, and then, but if you know each other, like you have that relationship, right?
Yeah.
But when it's someone who's a content creator, right, and you're like, oh, I very much disagree with what they think, and on top of it, you don't just see like why they think what they think, you just happen to zoom in the moment, you know, like you're coming in when all the background information and the context is gone and it's at the very end of the conversation, you know what I mean? Yep, and you're like, oh my goodness, how could they be saying these things? Anyway.
I feel like the bizarre thing potentially about Twitch specifically is that the content that's created is weirdly, it really has the expectation of long form, and that people are just going to be there for like the whole thing, and you can just keep on talking, and it's fine. And anybody who's there was probably, or no, wasn't probably there, but it, the content like should be available to people who are there from the start to the end, X number of days a week. That's just kind of a thing. It should be there. If you want to like, for me example, like when I was streaming way back when, it was like, all right, I'm going to make something that people can enjoy pretty much regardless of when they come in, and they'll enjoy it as if they had been here from the start for as long as they're here. That was my goal. And to do that, it was like, okay, I'm playing the game and I'm talking about the game and talking about whatever topics that people want to talk about, etc. And that's what I was doing there for like the long form content that was hopefully, and like I tried to make it so that it was available to people who had come in recently. But the thing is, especially if it's a topic similar to what me and Tim were having, where it's like inherently a more political topic, then you kind of can't assume that people are just going to drop in and it's fine. Like, you either have to just accept that people are coming in and that's it, and I, you know, I don't care about it. They can go back to the start, or they can watch my VOD, they can do whatever else they have to do.
You're putting the responsibility on the person, which, you know, as adults, that should be the responsibility, you know? Like, if you,
it should be.
Because here's the thing, if you're going to lay judgment on someone without knowing the context of the thing that's going on, like at the end of the day, that is on you, right? Like whatever that may be, whether it's right or wrong, you know?
Yeah. And it's either that, where you are putting the onus on the viewer, I guess, to go back and, you know, figure out what your original point was. Okay. Original point was, and regardless, like, you know, just figure it out. You can either stay here long enough and know it, you can generally know from your previous knowledge of me, or you can go back to the original start of the thing and find it out. And it's up to you to do any of those three, or you can just ignore all of the points that are being made and figure it out. Or you try and make something that's always available, even in a political context, to everybody, and that is like never gonna work. And it's kind of the catch 22 of Twitch, because what ends up happening is you either have scenarios that like you're trying to explain things and you're having these political discussions that are so surface level that it's just a non-discussion. You're not actually talking about anything real, you're not doing anything, and at that point, like, you're doing politics, you're not talking about it. Or you're just being a politician and you're not a political.
Well, because here's the thing. It's like you realize there's a certain point in the conversation. I mean, it obviously depends what kind of friends you are with the person you're talking to and stuff like that. But where both the people hear the other people's talking points and then the yelling match ensues. Like, I just feel, and we've assumed, you just assume like kind of the conversation of where it's going, you know, from there.
Yeah. And like, you can kind of put that up for content side of it, because like, sure, people yelling at each other is quality content, and that's why it's a major thing. Part of the reason that they do that is, hey, look, it's accessible to people that are literally just coming in. You can ask, what are you yelling about? It literally doesn't matter. It's the fact that people are yelling at each other and people want to watch that. So that's what I mean by it's the catch 22 of political Twitch. I don't know how we got here in a Rocket League podcast.
No, I told you this is a Rob and Kyle show with Rocket League themes. Okay, we've already said this. Okay.
Okay. So it's that catch 22 where you're either just doing content and it's like awful and it doesn't do anything because, you know, politics should, it doesn't work like this, but politics should be for an effort and impact for something. Even if it's just like potentially changing people who are on the fence's mind, which again, you know, doesn't really exist, but whatever. So
everyone has their own fence, I think, is the bigger thing. Where I think you might associate people with things, but like, I think a lot of people have, well, one, they don't have the luxury of time to think about stuff. But if people had time to think about stuff, I think the range of possibilities is much wider, right?
What do you mean by range of possibilities of thought?
Let me put it this way. This is going on our main show. Whatever.
Yeah, it is.
So it's not that bad right now. But I think when people say that, like, they're a fence sitter, I think what that usually means, right, in a lot of contexts, is they probably have, like, a certain, you know, worldview. Oh, nice pass. already, right? They have certain, like, precepts they live by or whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, it's one of those things where there's certain things they probably, when they stand on their other side, there's just like things they haven't thought about, right? So like things they are willing to change their mind about, right? I guess that's what it means, right? It's like you still have your core self, right?
Yeah.
Like who you are and what your current beliefs are. But there might be certain things that you either don't care really deeply enough or just literally have never looked into. And those would be the things that you would possibly have the ability to
be a fence sitter on.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I get. Okay. I don't know if I actually agree with you, but I get what you're saying.
This is one of those. I do this a lot, and you know, for better or worse. But this is one of those. What's it called? Find the middle ground points. You ever know those?
Yep. Defense sitter points.
Defense sitter points. Yeah. No, the point of this is to say that this could be a possibility, but I have not thought about what I said enough to then fully be like, do I believe that, or is this a reasonable thing to say to give further perspective? What I'm doing is widening perspective, as opposed to necessarily, I don't know, having a solid sound argument as to that. If that makes sense.
I think it makes sense. I don't know. Okay. So the reason that I don't necessarily think I agree with it is that it's a fence sitter argument about being a fence sitter, which I think is just hilarious. but the actual reason,
what are you accusing me of?
the actual reason that I don't think it works is that because of the content aspect of, like, you know, we're talking about politics. So the content aspects of politics, people are just going to choose the person that either they like more or they assume is going to align with their political beliefs, regardless. So you don't actually, I almost said that. You don't actually have an unbiased view, even if you haven't had prior thoughts on it, because you're going to create the bias just by who's speaking.
So if you like the person, you will therefore more likely agree or whatever. Yeah. Yep. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I get what you mean.
And I think there's another reason that it doesn't work. It's that content is content that has to be searched. And whether it's searched by the person or searched by an algorithm, it's irrelevant. So the fact that content has to be searched means that, hey, look, they're only searching for something that they probably already have a prior opinion on. So, you know, like, the algorithm's going to do that for you. Clearly, we all know that, but people are going to be looking for things that are similar to things that they've already talked about or things that they already do have opinions on. Right. So that's what I mean. Where especially in this, like, content politics world that we live in,
that should be the definition. That could be a whole Robin Kyle show. The idea of content politics, you know,
I know it's beautiful.
Anyway.
I can't believe they got that pinch. They got the worst pinch I've ever seen. Just going to explain it. And it just went in the net. I was covering all of the shot and it pinched in, and I'm very mad.
And with that, unless Babs, you still have some thoughts on it there.
I know I did have thoughts on it, and it wasn't done earlier, but I forgot where we were to start. And
no worries. What
we'll continue this in the future, Robin Kyle, if you want more.
Yes, there's your preview. and what I like to call effectively delaying the show so that we can get into the Rocket League. And Wabs, what are we going to talk about in Rocket League? Are you ready for it?
Oh, let me know.
Can you guess it?
Is it about the game that we're playing right now, or is it about the potential things that are happening in 6 days as of recording?
No, 6 days of recording. We're going to have another show out before the actual major.
Oh, we are going to have it. Okay, yeah, that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah. It's Friday. We're probably going to have it on Tuesday. So we'll have another preview show out. But no, I was going to say, let's talk about effective delaying.
Oh, we're going to talk about effective delaying? Okay. Okay, I like this.
Dude, you like what I did there? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I think a lot of times, like when you're playing the game, let's put it this way: this is our first game that we just jumped into right away. Mm-hmm. We had no effective delaying. We've been mindlessly trying to hit the ball, but yeah. I think one of those things that is very difficult in the game, especially in twos, maybe not as much in twos, but definitely in threes, mm-hmm. Is knowing when to slow down. Play right, like, you know, when you like you shadow right, mm-hmm. shadow defense, I think a lot of time or you have the ball and like you don't speed up, you like go for the, you know, low 50, right? I think one of the hardest things in this game is knowing when it's best to do so and not to do so, because especially when you're playing with randoms, I find you slowing the game down in itself, even mm-hmm. if it's the right play against the opponents, even if you confuse your opponents, if you confuse your own teammates too much, mm-hmm. then it's a bad play, you know, like mm-hmm. that's one of those things that I feel like you tend to have a difficult time with in this game.
Yeah,
like people not you, yes. maybe you, but
potentially what I actually like about this is that this is related to something that I had solidified, I guess, mm-hmm. like 2 days ago. I knew about it, but you know, I've not actually wasn't actively thinking about it. I think I was potentially positioning around it, but I was doing so badly. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm about to say is like literally what you're talking about, but not from the perspective of the delayer, but the one who's on the teammate or is the teammate of the one that's doing the delay. Mm-hmm. Where the person that's second, especially if you're in twos, like the second player, you have to recognize as your teammate is going for the ball, whether or not they're going for a solo player or a team player.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
And the thing about that is that...
You get my poetry snaps for that.
The thing about that recognition is that you have to be able to see what they're able to do. Not in terms of like, hey, look, can they physically hit this ball? Granted, in lower ranks, that is a fair thing to be thinking about. But just like if your teammate has the ball on the wall and nice pass, nice. Teammate has the ball on the wall and they are getting a controlling touch on it. You're sitting there being like, all right, they hit it up slightly and they have a really good first touch on it. What are they probably going to do here? The first guess should be a solo play in something like that scenario. Granted, it's going to change based on scenarios, of course, but you would expect in like a C3 through and higher spot that the person who gets a good touch like that has a controlling touch, has a
ability to do something with it.
The ability to do something is going to do something with it. They're going to go and hit the ball again at the very least once. So you have to assume that that's going to happen. And if that's the case, then you can't be positioned for a pass. You can't position forward for a pass. You can't even go beside the ball. You actually have to go well behind the ball and be ready for a 50. And that's the biggest thing about being that second man, where if your teammate's going for a solo play, you let them do a solo play because solo plays usually end with a 50 and you position for it. You have to be ready for your teammate to get a 50 to do something. Like our teammate or our opponent's right there is a really good example that I wish you could have seen you listener you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great audio listening game.
Where what
actually
ended up
happening? To that opponent, like literally right there, there was a moment where someone positioned where I just saw like when does defense break down? It's usually in those moments when someone goes to say, oh, like I'm gonna go in position to go for a pass, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And it's not the time to do it because they're, you know, you're ready for your, you know, air dribble or whatever you're about to do.
Yeah. They're going for a, what's the word? Going for a solo play. And that's the only condition. crazy save. When bar crossbar in, I'm happy about it. And then I just absolutely deked Lazero. They missed the open net. It's fine. We're good.
We're good. Okay, we can talk about the game, but like not about the game. You know what? You get what I mean?
Radio broadcast. So because of what's happening there, because of the like the thing of, is my teammate going for a solo play? Is my teammate going for a pass? You have to recognize what the abilities of your teammate are, what the positioning of them and the ball allows for, what the positioning of the opponents allow for even. Because if they're ready for a 50, then you have to be ready for a 50. If they're getting a straight up dunk, you turn around. If your teammate is unchallenged, then you can start pushing up a little bit and be ready for a 50 that goes further. So you have to kind of play around all of that stuff, maybe even begin to get ready for a pass if your teammate's given that much space. But you have to be positioned around solo play or not solo play. Wow, I'm so sad I missed that snipe. And that's going to be your biggest thing and your biggest focus for, I want to say, like most of the grind for a very long time. That is the second level of good positioning. I think I would want to say we're like, you know, level one is just go in a circle, go back post, yeah, make sure you're going cross. Level two is looking at your teammate and deciding whether or not they're going for a solo player or going for a pass. And you have to be able to recognize their ability, what can happen from it, what's available, that type of stuff, because that's the next level up, I think.
And I think with all that, we can now understand why, like, you know, when I started getting better at this game, Wabs, you know, actively, it felt like Wabs, like, was always one step ahead. And I think this, you know, conversation that we just have now is, it really, you know, what's the word, exemplifies or really shows why Wabs, in fact, has been so far ahead of the game. It's because he had to play with me that much, you know? And like, I'm so inconsistent sometimes, right? Like, sometimes you're getting triple flip resets, right? And sometimes you're getting me missing the ball 20 times in a row, right?
Yeah.
And Wabs expects all those things beforehand. And I think that's really the you know, the reason Wabs has been such a high level as he has.
Yeah. The big thing is prepping for all of them and then recognizing, it's all on you. My skill level's on you 100%. It's recognizing your teammates, what they can do, and then, you know, always prepping for worst case scenario. If it's, I say worst case scenario, but I don't actually mean worst case scenario. I mean, like, worst case scenario that is not completely giving up the game. Because if you're just sitting in net and doing nothing, you're doing nothing. You know,
it's one of those things is you expect, well, it's kind of tough to say, but it's like you kind of expect your team to lose 50s or like,
I don't actually want to say that.
Well, no, that's not right, because if you're doing that, then you're actively making it harder for your team to have any pressure on the other team, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're actively giving up what's the word?
Potential,
right? Like control and potential, which is also important parts of the game. Mm-hmm. But I think more than anything, it's one of those it's one of those difficult things. I'm kind of losing where we were. What were we talking about? This is what happens when I play the game and I'm super tired.
Don't know if you're trying to go towards the, like, you have to play for potential, but also be ready for, like, the...
Yeah, that's things. A weird one. That's a weird one, right? Because, like, essentially, as the higher level you play, the more risk you can get because you just have more and more trust in your teammates.
Yep.
But I think at the same time, like... especially in games, like if you have teammates that you've had for a while, you can probably tell when they're not playing their best, right?
Yeah.
And so probably your play might change depending on whether they're playing their best or not. But that's really tough, because at the highest levels, you know, you're playing against teams that will punish you if you're giving them too much space, right?
And you also have to keep in mind, like, this is literally what we were talking about with Prof, like a couple, what is that, months back now, like a month or something, where that's how decision making and like that large scale game plan of pro play is. Like, that's what they're doing. They're deciding who's playing well, who's on, who's going to be our pop off player, and then we'll just decide our entire game plan around that and enable you, and that's our game plan. It's enabling the player who's playing really well.
Is that crazy though? Like,
it's insane.
It can't, but you understand why, because they play the sheer amount of the games that they play, right? Means that it's impossible for someone to be playing at the top of the game continuously, right? And in theory, yep. when you're on a pro team, you have three players that can all pop off, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have three players that on the their day, like, yeah, some people might play back or some two might be more, like, aggressive. Mm-hmm. But if you know one of the players is not fulfilling the role that they usually fulfill the best that they can, mm-hmm. you have to completely change how you play because of it.
Yeah. As a three squad, like, it has to be completely different because of how, like, those minute differences of the slight quality of play based on, like, day-to-day changes. Like, it's so much that's going on, and that's the, you know, that's the highest level thing, because they're so used to each other's play, and because they know exactly when somebody's playing wrong, they can literally tell each other when it's like, oh wait, no, you actually are playing insanely well, or, and it's like, it's just a mental thing, like, yeah, just keep on doing exactly what you're doing, we'll get through it, or they'll tell you that it's bad. And like, you as a team, you as an individual, you know when that's happening, and you know what you have to do to prepare for that, and you know, like, because you've practiced it, you know how to be, you know how to be a good teammate in the pro level. But in a lower level, and by that I mean like SSL and lower, you don't have that. You don't have that experience with each other. You don't have that knowledge of how each other plays when somebody's like slightly off. You don't have like that very, very specific and it kind of exact knowledge of the level of play that's available based on the teammates and how they're playing on that specific day. You don't have that. But you do have a different thing that's going on, which is like way above me, and I don't know how to be aware of it, but kind of falling into rotations based off the abilities that you expect of your opponents, going way back to the thing of, okay, is this a solo player? Is this a 50? Right? Like, back to that, we're now in a spot where we can talk about plays that people who are listening to this podcast can go for. And that's the whole thing. It's gonna change, and you know, level one is go in a circle and grab some boost on the way, go back post. Level two, I want to say, is what I said earlier, and the whole thing with just like knowing what the abilities of your teammates are and whether or not they're going for a solo player or 50 and positioning around that, because that's the most important thing. Above that is above me. I'll get there when I get to SSL. I'll start talking about that.
Maybe I'll learn something more.
Yeah. We'll go to level three eventually.
Here's the tough thing too. Like, I think a lot, and what I mean a lot, I mean a lot of pro/SSL players are intuitive players, right? Mm-hmm.
If it's true just because of how much replay analysis they do.
So I guess my argument is they're naturally intuitive players as opposed to now they've actually trained and now you start putting it together. Yep. But I think what my point is mm-hmm. that they can't explain it. I think a lot of these pros wouldn't be able to explain it.
They wouldn't.
And those who can explain it wouldn't necessarily be able to do it. And that's why mm-hmm. you need coaches. Yep. But it's one of those things as well as... this is where I'm curious about like system-based strategies, right? Where you... Oh my goodness, go Wabs. Mm-hmm. Sorry, one of the best strategies Wabs and I has is I get in a rule one, and then all of a sudden the skill levels is equalized, and now there's a chance. I think one of those things, because like I remember we were talking with Prof, we were talking about like system-based mm-hmm. strategies where like certain teams will just have a system because they have a system. Like a bad mm-hmm. system. It's an adage in sports, like a bad system is better than no system, mm-hmm. right? And you know, I guess it kind of makes sense where like you want everyone kind of having an idea of what they should be doing. But it is extremely difficult. Like, it's very hard to compare this game to a lot of traditional sports, because some of the tempo, and what I mean, like, people are intuitive, right? Like, what I'm meaning as well is like there's so much reaction, right? There's mm-hmm. so much stuff that you're doing so quickly that it's like within your bones as opposed to like you know, muscle memory that you've trained. I mean, it is muscle memory you've trained for a long time, but like the reaction and the how quick you're doing those things, it's probably a lot faster than this, even some of the sports reactions that you're seeing, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Like, okay, cool. Well, I don't care how good you are, how aggressive you are. The amount of maybe it's tough to compare to sports, because then, like, as soon as you're getting into sports, you're going to take, there's like a whole physical side of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That, like, you're not really dealing with in Rocket League, you know? Yep.
It's just the twitch, like, reaction versus the whole body reaction. The whole sciences are behind that. Yes.
But Wap hasn't been able to tell. He's definitely saving me this episode, because I'm I go on a thought and I've lost it like halfway through.
Yep. It's been a long day. I think what you're getting to with that is the whole thing, just about like flow state, right? Because mm-hmm. flow state isn't just doing the muscle memory and having the muscle memory down and ingrained and doing it consistently and blah, blah, blah. You do it over and over, you get the muscle memory. Because granted, you don't really think about muscle memory, but it's like deeper than that, because you just want to not be thinking at all. In a way, and that's the level of intuition that's like everybody who's played Rocket League for, I don't know, I want to say like 20 hours, maybe 100 hours, knows this. You know where you are, you know what's going on, you know how to hit the ball, and you're good. And you know, you might not be doing things correctly, you might be doing things like, you know, at a plat level, at a gold level, maybe even lower, but you're still doing things kind of intuitively. Just because you don't have the time to think, like, you don't. That's one of the whole points of Rocket League. You have 5 minutes per game, and you have less than half a second per decision, if you even have that much time. And
it feels longer, because like the more you play, the longer it feels, right? But it's your perception as opposed to like the actual speed of the game changing sometimes.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the game's going faster now than it ever did when I was in, you know, mm-hmm. silver, right? Yep. but my ability to perceive it's so much better that it feels slower.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is a reference now to I don't know, did you this is gonna be way off topic. did you watch any of the new like cyberpunk anime or whatever?
I think I watched the first episode.
You don't have to know anything about it, okay? The point is, there's a skeleton suit that could make you, like,
perceive. I know that time. Much, yep.
Really?
Yep.
Okay? And it's like, what's the difference between that and time travel, right? And that's what I'm thinking of with this example, right? It's like, it's not that the time is actually slowing down. It's just our ability to perceive it. And because you're so predictable, because you have so much experience with the game, mm-hmm. you're able to continuously predict things that are going to happen way better. So it feels slower. Right.
Yeah.
But it's just that you're it's so ingrained in you in some ways, right? All those things are so ingrained in you. That's mm-hmm. wow, that's dumb. that you have so little thinking to do, you know? It's like,
yes,
to perceive where the ball's going to go next. And so, I mean, that's why essentially, like, when you move up in level is always the hardest, because you kind of have to rewire your brain as to mm-hmm. how things are going to go now, right? Like, what are things to, you know, speaking of things to expect, mm-hmm. the things to expect are not ingrained in your brain, right?
Yeah.
Or the list of all possibilities of what you see in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like the list of all the possible things you see exponents do in the game is ingrained in your brain yet. So you can't get, like, going back to our earlier conversation, right? You can't start predicting those things until you actually play at that level for long enough to then it's not only incorporated, oh, well, I saw it once, it's like, oh no, I've seen someone try this like 100 times, so now it's a thing that I can expect recently. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And I guess to make this a little bit more clear, the reason that things feel faster as you go up is because it's not that you're thinking less. Like, I say it like you don't want to think, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, we have our fun things that we say. But, you know, brain off, head empty. And that's fine. It works because, you know, it's kind of like experiential. You know what I'm saying when I'm saying it, because you've probably experienced it yourself. But it's not because you're not thinking. It's not because you're doing, like, no thoughts and you're just whatever, you're just hitting the ball because you're hitting the ball. It's that you're thinking about the things that you have to think about, and you're thinking about them at the right time. And the thing about this is, as you go up, the thing that you have, like the things you have to think about, become less and become slightly farther apart, but they become more important at each and every one of them. So, you know, if I'm, how did I miss a flip? If I'm in bronze or literally just picked up the game for the first time, I'm thinking about literally every single thing. I have to figure out how to turn. I have to figure out how to jump. I have to figure out how to press a ball cam to look. I have to figure out what the ball is doing, what the opponents can do, like literally every single thing on the field and off the field. I have to think about that. And that's really hard. So things go real fast because I have no idea what's happening. Because, you know, you don't know the game. But as you go up, you start to think about things less. You start to think about your car control less because, you know, you flip forward and you're probably going to land as long as you're not holding forward for too long. If I drive up the wall with a certain amount of boost and I know I can hit the ball with this amount of boost in this way, and that's fine. But like all these things start to become a ingrained part that is muscle memory that you don't have to think about because it's just a thing that you do. All of that's happening and you're not thinking about it because there's no reason for you to think about it. If you think about it, you have to actually think about the individual movements, and that's not worth it because now you're expending brain power on those things again. And that's, you don't want to do that. You want to think about where everybody is. You want to think about what's available to you. What you want to think about the amount of boost that you have specifically and the amount of boost that the opponents are probably having. What are the opponents and my teammates able to do in this moment? Where do I have to be for the 50? There are so many other things that are more important to do. And you're doing them at slightly longer intervals. You're doing them slightly less often, but they're more impactful things. So that's the whole notion of like brain off, head empty. You're still thinking. You're just thinking about the right things at the right time because you're thinking at about the 50 when you're already positioned for the 50. You're thinking
about... Is this... is this like Spiel we've been on here? You know that feeling where like you're in a game sometimes and you feel like you can just stop and it's like totally fine? And I think that comes with like you need to be at a certain level and a certain experience, but where you just realize that all the things that you usually require in a game that's challenging you, if that makes sense. It's not like this is like the best way to play, like, you know, slow down or whatever, but it's there's like a feeling where I'm just like doing very little. But I feel still very comfortable in the game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say with that? Because like I think that happens to a lot of, and I think what it means is just that you've realized the capabilities of all the people in the game in some ways, right? And you know that you are still good enough to react and get to something. Like they're not going to surprise you, and so because of that, you are so comfortable that you stop doing all those things that you've been like working on, you know, like perfect boost management and, you know, using all, you know, turning perfectly and all those things. You don't have to use any of that because you just are like, oh no, like no matter what they do, you can't surprise me.
Yeah. And that like you can't surprise me thing, it also does come up with like, you know, are you able to read the level that the opponents are doing? And is what you're expecting to happen what's happening? That's also part of it because, you know, as you get better, then what you're expecting to happen happens. It also happens when you're lower because, like, you know, you're expecting your opponents to miss and they miss. so that stuff goes on. All of this is happening and you're just kind of, you're just vibing. Like, you don't really have to do it, right? And it's great because you don't have
to. But, like, I'm always curious because, like, you know, it's so tough as you move up in this game because like you want to force the game, you want to be the one like making changes. But just being part of the natural flow of the game might be the right thing sometimes, and that's like hard to do.
Yeah.
Just be like, I'm gonna get 20 points this game, but this is the right thing because of the circumstances of this game.
Yeah. It's like we talked about last time, or not last time, but a while ago with the questions corner. I think it was Chaos that asked it, like which game mode has the most, do points have the most, most similar thing to like effect on the game or skill?
Yeah.
Threes, it doesn't. Twos, it kind of does, but even still, it doesn't really. And the reason is that you can just be positioned correctly and be in a spot where you're watching things happen and you're just in the right spot to wait and your teammate's just turning. And you know what? They're turning fine. It doesn't really matter that they're turning. You don't have to necessarily get saves because your opponents aren't getting anything. It doesn't matter. You're just playing. And you're still doing things correctly. You're still doing things that, you know, don't. It doesn't matter if you're hitting the ball or you're doing things like doing fancy mechanics and getting goals. It's just you're playing the game, you're playing it right, and that's all you have to do.
Yeah. Right? I think we're gonna try to do one more game, see if we can get a win here. By the way, okay. As we've been talking, we've lost every game, which doesn't surprise me because my brain has been thinking about providing you with amazing audio content opposed to winning the game.
Yes.
But there's definitely no effect of delaying. I don't think I've like. Listen, every time I've slowed down, the game, this game has been to air dribble. It's like specifically to mechanic. Oh my goodness. Oh, free pass. Oh wait, you know what? Okay, we have 2:30 on the clock. We're down 5. Dude, if we hunker down, could we win this?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, just because of the skill level of the opponent, naturally.
Yep, but I also don't really care. I'm here to play the game and talk with you. So I could not care less what the scoreline ends up being. I'm honestly practicing mechanics more than I'm playing Rocket League effectively.
All right. In general, I think we've covered a couple of good topics here. It's been we don't always, you know, cover just like Rocket League tings.
Yeah, this is an advanced to beginner's corner. It's an intermediates corner that we've been talking about.
There's like part of me that's like that kind of level becomes so much harder with this game, right? Because, you know, you have to have an appreciation of like how good you have to be to actually implement the more complicated things. Like if you never get to the level mechanically of doing certain things, like you're going to get stuck at some point, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what happens, the person that has mastered like all the mechanics, shall we say, right? Or is or is way more consistent, right? Does a lot of the things right and is able to do them. Like the thing that the person decides to do, they do. That person can learn, okay, let me adapt to like my teammate. Like, you know, going back to the other stuff we've been talking about, like let me adapt to my teammate, let me adapt to all those things. Right? Mm-hmm. That isn't as hard in general as putting in the time to be able to do the, you know, all the things consistently, right? And well, and when you want to do them more precisely, right? Like I think if you get to a point where you can execute the ideas that are in your brain, mm-hmm. well, the training your brain of like what you should be doing or not doing in those situations is, I think, a little easier than actually putting in the hours to do that.
I don't know if I agree. I think we
it's
have
good, talked about I don't know this. What I said.
I want to say that it boiled down to
What did we say? What
mechanics
we say
are better. Also? Mechanics are easier to. I always think like, it makes sense.
Mechanics are easier to learn for sure, but I think what I mean by that is less of difficulty, and it's more the persistence part. If that makes sense, like I think that's what I'm boiling it down to, right? It's just like to be at a certain level of consistency is a lot of effort as opposed to necessarily new learned skill, right? Or you know, making a breakthrough, shall we say? I don't know if that.
Yeah, really okay. I can kind of take that, but again, I don't think. It depends on who you are as a person, I'll be honest. And that's going to be my answer to this, even though it's like really annoying. And the reason that I say that is that it depends on if you're the type of person to analyze and overthink and go through your replays and do all of that, or if you're the type of person, and like I talk about this as like your natural thing. What are you naturally going to be doing? What do you want to be doing? What do you have fun doing? And what's the thing that you like are just you're not thinking you're doing? Why I say that it's up to the person is that some people are going to like like they're going to just enjoy doing mechanics and repeating the same process over and over again until they learn the thing, i.e. you earlier on when you just learned how to do flip resets or air dribbles, right? Like you just,
once I have those two down, it was good. I'm like,
you just grinded them out because you grinded them out. Yeah, that's it. And you did that because you liked it and that was it. But for me, you could say that like I'm the more thoughty player. I've put more thought into it when I was earlier for sure. And you know, the game knowledge was the reason that I was where I was, and that was it. And like, I don't think you'd be wrong to say that. But the big difference, I guess, and the reason that neither of those is an objectively better way, is that in the end, we both have to do the other. You have to think, and I have to do the mechanics.
Because you need to be able to do both. Yep.
Yeah. So the big thing that's the effort is doing the thing you don't want to do. If you enjoy doing the mechanics, then you have to actually put the effort into going through the your replays and thinking about where you are on the field that might allow you to use those mechanics. If you enjoy going over the field and you enjoy knowing what's happening, you enjoy the... the more what's the word, not intelligent, but
it isn't. Well, that's the idea. At least you think you're intelligent.
No, that's why I'm saying not intelligent. But yes, of course I do. the more analytical, the more like thoughts I'm thinking right now, and I'm in the right spot. That's the one, academic, the academic nature of the game. Then hey, look, you have to put the time into use your position. You're not doing anything if you're in the right spot and you can't do anything with it. You can't, I don't know, if you're like what, SS or not SSL, if you're like GC1, even at the lowest, and you're given a spot where you should or could get an air dribble and you just can't, you just give it back to the opponents. Hey, look, you did nothing with the ball and it's just free possession for them. They're probably going to score on you in a couple minutes. Just straight up, you can be in the perfect spot every single time. And if you can't do your basic mechanics that are very hard, then
like passing it to Wabs in front of the net, precisely. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Against GC players.
Then you're just not going to be able to do anything. So that's what I mean by like, it's the exact same scenario. It literally does not matter which side you're on, because it ends up at the same spot. There are super positional diamonds.
Sometimes you have to learn both, or else, yeah.
That's the whole thing. To get better, you have to learn both. That's the big point. You have to do the things that you don't want to do. And the thing that you don't want to do is exactly the thing you're not doing right now. There are super rotational diamonds that know everything about the game and can't do anything. And there are super mechanical diamonds who can do everything in the game but don't know how to get in a position to do anything. And it's the exact same problem on the flip side of the coin. So you have to do the other thing. And I think that's the more important one. And that's where the actual effort's going to come through, because
stuff you don't want to do.
It's the stuff you don't want to do. Yeah. You have to eat your vegetables, basically. It's a long rant to say that you have to eat your vegetables, but I think I'm happy with it.
It's good. No, we've been missing some rants, dude. You know,
today is all rants. It's a wild rant day.
I thought 200 was wild. This is definitely something else.
This feels like kind of the opposite of 200, I'll be honest.
Well, you can't say we're not flipping the script, you know?
Yeah.
You can't say... Yeah. We're like season 7 of a show, you know? It's like, okay, yeah, people are going to hate us, but if we keep the same thing, they're going to start leaving us anyway.
We switch it up. Well, regardless of what people want and what people like, we switch it up.
I mean, the golden rule is just do what you want to do. This is what I want to do, so.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Because regardless if I did something that I wanted to do or someone else wanted to do, it probably have the same that's how I go about this podcasting, but probably have about, you know, the same results, so I might as well
enjoy the thing that I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to do the thing that I think would work but won't end up working, you know.
Yep. That's beautiful. You have any other discussions for us right now?
No, we're gonna close the show out as soon as this game is done.
All right, we have 1 minute and 20 19 seconds plus thing.
You know what we can do? We can finish the game, but we can think of our homework for the week. All right.
Oh, okay. Give us a sign off.
Yeah.
Eat your vegetables. I'm going to say it.
You know what? That's good. I like that.
In real life and in Rocket League.
Nothing else. No, nothing else. Just eat your vegetables. You take it however you want. Okay.
You know exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Eat your vegetables. And I don't know. What do you want to do for the last minute?
For the last minute, I like to direct everyone. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I might as well announce this as if we're going to do that Christmas special. Mm-hmm. If someone would like to be featured with a Grinch Stole Christmas reading or a song of their choice or playing instrument of a song of their choice.
Anything themed around
anything
holidays.
Audio, anything that's audio
themed around. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can. It
doesn't even have
free.
To be holiday themed because, like, kind of up to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be even that holiday themed.
Yeah.
Anything that would at least make sense, though. Okay. I don't need Halloween.
It does have to be thematic.
All right.
Fine.
I don't need. What's the word?
Nightmare Before Christmas is entirely on board. I'm saying it right now.
No, that's fine. but it's still in. You know,
it's themed.
Regards.
It's themed. That's the it's level themed. Of theme we're going for.
Okay, but it can't be get. Now I'm thinking, this is the new Wednesday show, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm. I'm like, Christmas episodes count.
If it's a Christmas, but I don't know how. What would you do in audio form? You know, that's the question. All right.
Anybody want to do their best impression?
The dance?
Of,
do you want to do the Wednesday dance in audio form?
The audio form of the Wednesday dance is perfect. Anybody want to do their best impression of? Is it George Costanza's dad doing Festivus for the rest of us? Up to you. Take your pick.
So start. If you actually have an idea that you are serious about, let me know, and I'll set up some kind of way to submit said things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll be coming in a month. Less.
Yeah, because what will happen eventually? I guess after the major, we'll do an episode of the major, and then there'll be like a little bit. Of we like to do a break and just release that episode. That's kind of a nice way to do it because I will tend to be traveling somewhere. Yes. So, I mean, traveling relative, all right, but just not in a situation. I mean, and it's nice, you know. My sister's coming back home.
Yeah, it's not the most recordable scenario and setup. Yeah,
There you go. All right, everyone.
You have your general plan for the next couple weeks.
Yeah. We'll see y'all
next time.
Next time to preview the land.
Yeah.
Peace.
Bye.